Craig, lucid dreaming, we touched on it a little bit last hour. The ability, of course, to realize you are in a dream, perhaps change the outcome, alter it somewhat. Tell us a little bit more about lucid dreaming.
Right. Well, it doesn't necessarily even have to be control either in terms of changing the outcome. Sometimes just kind of adding an extra presence or having more clarity or vividness and really, you know, sort of experiencing the dream fully in terms of smell, touch. Sometimes people can pick up temperature or listen to things when they never normally recall these other senses. So lucidity is being more conscious of. But the kind of way that it's talked about generally nowadays is that we guide and control and shift things. But I want to expand that a little bit too, so that people know it's not just a control freak kind of thing. But it can be a practical tool. For many people, it's kind of like a Martian. I was listening to your guest last night talking about Mars and everything.
Richard C. Oldman.
Yeah, right. And lucid dreams are a bit like a Martian in that you can, you know, if somebody's never seen one, they may or may not believe you. You know, how can you be awake while you're asleep, which is what lucid dreaming is. They can sort of understand it, but until they see one firsthand, until they experience their own lucid conscious dream, they don't really know what you're talking about. So have you had some before?
No, I don't think I've had a lucid dream. Let me rephrase that. I may have had a few. I've not been able to change the outcome. So, you know, we talk about the fact that it's not control. But I have had a few where I realized it was a dream, and I kind of like giggled to myself in the dream because I kind of just knew nothing could happen. But I haven't yet been able to control it. I do, though, use the other thing I was telling you about, and that's the ability to do things in my dream state. I do it a lot.
You mean sort of suggesting to yourself to answer a problem or meet somebody or that kind of thing?
Exactly, or to send messages to other people because I need them to accomplish something and get something done. And it seems to work for me.
Well, that brings up a great point because I don't think of lucidity as an on-off thing either. In fact, the words I even use, we have a dream database that should be up on the web not too long at dreams.ca, our website. That says, you know, sort of pre-lucid, semi-lucid, lucid, and then like very lucid. So more of a spectrum of lucidity. And at the start of the spectrum, although you probably won't hear anybody else say this, I think that the incubation or giving yourself an intention to dream about a subject or meet somebody or send a message like you do, and then having it happen, that's the beginning of lucidity because you're guiding and controlling the dream. You're just not doing it in real time. You're not doing it while you're awake in the sleep state. But you're still affecting it, so somehow it's breaking through that kind of sleep-wake barrier that we cross when we fall asleep. And there's lots of great tips on the website for listeners who just joined in. Check out www.dreams.ca. About halfway down the page on the right is Pathways to Lucidity or Lucid Dreaming Techniques.
There are exercises then, right?
Yeah, George, you know, there's so many great, great applications. I mean, just number one, fun. And excitement. I'll give you a couple examples in a minute, but I really encourage you to check out that list. The most important one on there...
Now, don't forget, Craig, this is a family radio show.
Oh, okay. We won't talk about all the applications. X-rated dreaming?
Can't do that.
But those techniques...
Those are the other shows.
That's Stephen who talks about some of those things, I think. Well, I encourage people, the first thing that they would do if they were to have a conscious dream or if they were to know that they're dreaming while they're dreaming, that's kind of the official cutoff of lucidity, to know that you're dreaming while you're dreaming, is to try to fly or float in the air. First of all, it's a great symbolic thing because, you know, we're kind of getting freedom perspective.
Mm-hmm.
But more than that, people really enjoy the feeling that comes with it. And the most important thing is you wake up knowing, boy, I couldn't have done that in waking state. So something new in another realm. And then from there, there's lots of other applications. And there's a whole article about applications of dreams on the website at dreams.ca also. It's the first link on the right. But here's a couple examples. What could you do? Because we could talk about it all day. It's kind of like this movie Groundhog Day. Have you seen that one?
Yes, I love it. Just goes over and over again. I was going to say it. I've seen it 40 times.
A little bit like some of the commercials that break there, recurring.
That's right.
Just joking with you. But the Groundhog Day sort of shows the principles of lucidity in that our Bill Murray character, for people who haven't seen it, is kind of waking up to the fact that, hey, I'm in this more or less virtual world, that I can't get killed, I can do anything I want, and that, you know, unless I change something, it's going to keep repeating. and eventually we won't ruin the ending, but he manages to change it in a lot of different ways and finally get free. But here's an interesting one. Some of the applications, what could lucidity be good for? How about just fun?
Okay, give us an example.
One that when I was researching with part of a lucid dream group, you know, we're sort of doing a course together, we had an experiment. Go into a dream, become conscious or recognize that you're dreaming, and then bring back a message from a character in the dream world. So I thought that was a pretty interesting experiment. You know, bring back a message for the dream group.
From the character.
From some character, yeah, yeah. Dream character. So first of all, you have to know that you're dreaming, then you go to talk to someone and ask them the question. So here I was coming out of a mall or some office building or something, and then I remembered, oh, wow, we had an intention for the dream group, and then I kind of slowly, I think it was more spontaneous than really sudden flash, but I spontaneously sort of grew into lucidity saying, wow, I'm going to go find a character here. But there wasn't anybody around on the street, so I went into this sort of official-looking government building, and there was a police officer or some type of officer there, and I said, this is going to sound a little bit weird, sir. But do you have a message for the dream group? And he looks me up and down. This is kind of the interesting part. He really looks me up and down, my whole body, and says, well, you're going to have to fill out a form first.
I love it.
And then I woke up. So there's a kind of double level to that. First of all, that was the message for the dream group because that's all I got from him. But the interesting little wordplay, or I guess a thought play there was, I actually had to fill out my physical form to deliver that message, and that's why he's looking me up and down.
Well, let me ask you this. Are the characters
fun and exploration?
The characters in your dream, do they believe they're alive? Do they know they're in a dream?
Yeah, there's been some pretty interesting research done on this. From Alan Worsley, one of the first lucid dreamer who proved lucidity, actually before Luberge and some of his lucid dreamers scientifically proved it. Alan Worsley proved it in Liverpool. And he was pretty big on trying different experiments in dreams. And I forget all the results, but he would go and ask characters, okay, I know I'm dreaming. You guys are here. And they sort of agreed with him. Okay, you're dreaming. And he says, now, I'm going to wake up now, and I'm going to come back. Tell me what happened. So he wakes up, obviously, and then comes back. And he wasn't able to repeat that experiment again, as far as I can remember. So he never returned to that group. But other people have asked the characters, you know, are you real or are you a real character? And I forget some of the answers. There was one really interesting answer. You know, forgive me if this isn't exactly accurate, but it was something like to even ask the question, how do you know that I'm any less real than you are?
Right. I mean, it could be a different state here, another dimension. Who knows?
An alternate world of some sort.
Very, very possible.
Realm.
You know, we may go into that alternate world, a multiverse in a dream state. I don't think anybody's ever denied that yet.
Oh, sure, and not necessarily just a dream state, you know. Sometimes some of these things percolate or bridge right into waking state.